Good morning, Boker Tov Mevorach. I really see it as a big zchut to be here. The topic that I would like to discuss is, are you allowed, according to the halacha, to kill minority in order to save majority? I want to speak about four cases. Firstly, I apologize for my English. Even that I was born in Boston, I came to Israel when I was 2 weeks. So you will have to apologize to my English. I want to speak, please, about four cases. And we'll see if there is a difference between them. And then we will start the sources. Case number one, the tragedy that happened in the Twin Towers. Was it allowed, after they saw that the first airplane is going into the first building, was it allowed to shoot the second airplane, that the people in the airplane will die without the people in the building? So this is killing minority for saving majority. Killing the people in the airplane in order to save majority, the people in the building. If this is a thing that is allowed according to halacha or not allowed according to halacha. Second case that I would want to speak about is a famous case that happened in Kobna, happened in Warsaw. Every year I take my students to Poland and we stand near this ghetto and we discuss that in the two places. In Kobna, for example, there was a group of 35 people that were hidden in a bunker under the ground. It was the end of the war, and suddenly they heard the Nazis walking on top. And it was very, very clear that if they would be found, they would be all killed. And a baby started to cry. And the father tried to relax the baby once, twice, three times, and the baby cried only more and more. And then, after a lot of thinking, it was clear that another few minutes, if the baby continues to cry, everyone will be found and be killed. The father decided to chuck the baby. Immediately when the war finished, he went to the Rav in Kobna, Rav Efrati, and he said, I'm a Kohen. And a Kohen that was over Lo Tirtzach is not allowed all his life to go toward the Duchov. There is a very famous tshuva, we don't have now time to go into, of Rav Avada Yosef in Yabia Omer. If someone by accident in a car killed someone, and he's a Kohen, can he go to the Duchan or not? And he said, I have a Kohen and I will kill it. I chucked my baby. But I saved myself and I saved all the other people. Was I over Lo Tirtzach? And I can't go to the Duchan? Or what I did was right and then I can go to the Duchan? That case number two that I would like to discuss. So case number one is the Twin Towers. Case number two is the case with the baby in Kobna and Warsaw. Case number three. 25 years ago, Arik Sharon was the Minister of Defense in Israel, and he decided that Tzahal would go into Lebanon. And when Tzahal went into Lebanon and were there for a few months, in every town and town that they were, they took a building and they made that building to be the main center of the army till they are living. And in the city of Tzor, they took a big Arabic building. The room downstairs were very small, so they put the regular soldiers. The room upstairs were big, they put the captains. And in the middle of February, the whole building crashed because of gas leak and Immediately, half an hour later, came doctors of Tzahal. They put walkie-talkie through and records through the stones. And the Prime Minister of Israel got a diagram who's still alive, who is not. And it came to be that most of the soldiers down, because there were a lot of soldiers down, the soldiers, the regular soldiers, a lot of them are still alive, and few captains up are still alive. According to statistic, they won't live more than a few hours. If you would start to take stone from the top, and you have to take them very, very carefully, because if you won't take them carefully, then you only kill the person that is under the stone. So you have to take them very, very carefully. You have to put a balloon of gas, fill it up, the stone goes up, and then to remove the stone. And if we would start from stone to the top, we won't come in the few hours that they have to live to most of the soldiers in the battle. Three captains came to the Prime Minister, Captain of Golani, Captain of Survival, and Captain of Air Force. And they demanded that the tractor would remove third of the pile. In other words, to kill by tractor actively the soldiers, the captains. In terms that in these hours, we can save the soldiers in the battle, but they are the majority. And the Prime Minister of Israel had to decide, and there was a gathering of the government on the place, in Tzor, near the building, to decide if they are accepting this request or not. And I want to check, please, according to the halacha, should they or shouldn't they take this idea of removing third of the pile in order to save the soldiers in the battle, even though they will kill the captains on the top, because the captains are the minority and the soldiers are the majority. Last case that I would like to discuss, if anyone saw the movie Escape from Sobibor, the camp of Sobibor, 10 Jews tried to escape from the camp. This is a real story that happened. They were found after they escaped in the forest. They were brought back to the camp. All the Jews in the camp were gathering, and the Nazis said, "We are going to kill all the 10 people that try to escape. But before we kill them, everyone had to choose one more to be killed with." And they refused. And then the captain said, "If you won't choose, I will choose for you another 5 to be killed with each one of you." And then the question is, should they choose one and only 20 should be killed? Or they shouldn't choose and then 60 will be killed? And here again you have the question of killing minority, the 20 or the 10 that will be chosen, in order to save majority, the 50 that will be killed in the other way. So we do speak about 4 cases. Twin Towers, killing the second aeroplane to save the people in the building, killing the baby in order to save the people in the bunker, killing the captains in top in order to save the soldiers, and choosing 10 in order that the Nazi won't choose 50. These are the 4 cases that I would like to speak. All of these 4 cases happened. The common question is the same question: killing minority to save majority. Before we go to the sources, I would like to ask the Tzibur here, the Tzibur HaKadosh, is there a difference between the cases? Do we think the halacha will be the same halacha to the 4 cases, or are there any differences between the cases? Bakasha. Yes. When you say first case, which case do you mean?
The Twin Towers.
Yeah.
The towers, so if they're on the plane aimed at you, whether or not they're the ones flying the plane, your plane is trying to actively destroy the Twin Towers.
But not the people that are sitting in the plane.
No, but
they don't want to kill. So you want to claim that the case of the aeroplane, the people will be considered rodef, and there perhaps, and therefore they can, we can kill them, while the other cases they won't be considered rodef. Okay. Okay, here we have a different svara. Maybe the baby is a rodef, but the people in the airplane are not rodef. Any other differences between the four cases, please? Yes, please. So you want to say that the difference is that there are cases where the minority will die anyway? For example, the people in the plane, because when the plane will touch the building, they will die anyway. Or the baby, it will die anyway if you kill the whole group. Versus the case of Tzor, that we can save the captains and they will live to the 120, or we will kill the captains and they won't live. Once I gave this lecture, of this year in Israel to a group from people that came from here, a big crowd, and the whole lecture I saw that one of the ladies was shocking up all the lecture and crying and so on, and I didn't understand why. At the end of the lecture she ran to me and she said that she's an aunt of one of the captains that was surviving that. The government didn't agree to the suggestion and didn't and save the captains on top, and she was aunt of one of them, and he's living till today. So the difference is that there are cases where the minority will live anyway, and there are cases where the minority won't live anyway. We have to check if according to halacha there will be a difference between the cases. Yes. What do you mean when you say purpose? Meaning to say that there is a difference between fixed minority and unfixed minority. In the question, in the cases of the aeroplane, for example, the minority is fixed. The people that are sitting in the aeroplane. In the case of the baby, the minority is fixed. The baby that sits, that cries. In the case of Sobibor, you have to decide between Reuven or Shimon or Levi. And this is, and you can choose the minority. And we have to check if there is a difference between fixed minority and unfixed minority. So we speak about two things. One, is there a difference between minority that will be dead anyway or not? That's number one. Number two, is there a difference between fixed minority and unfixed minority? Before we go to the sources, I want to speak about the rodef. I want to claim that in all four cases, none of them, the minority that we speak to kill, is a rodef. There is a Mishnah in Ohalot. You don't have it in the sources, I will say it is Baal Peh. The Mishnah says that if a baby is risking the life of the mother when he's being born, till he's going out from her body, you do kill the baby. And this is the source for the question, when do you do abortion and when you don't do abortion? I won't go into that, we don't have time for that. the Tzitz Eliezer of Wartburg, that was a very, very important rav in the Bet Cholim Shari Tzedek, a big posek in these issues. He wanted to be mechadash from this Mishnah, that like when he risks the mother life, you can do borshan. He wanted to say that even a baby that was found in the ultrasound that he have Tizaks, and he will die in a year after he was born, you are allowed to do borshan for him. But anyway, if he risks the life of the mother, you can do borshan and you can kill him. If he goes out, his head already out, then you're not allowed to touch it. Ask the Gemara, why don't you touch him when his head is out? You should still kill him, because he's rotif. He's actively going to kill the mother. Answer the Gemara, Mishmaya Haradfele. Most of the Rishonim, except the Rambam, the Ran, the Ritva, the Ramban, the Rashba, explain that the Gemara comes and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him to kill the mother. It wasn't by his free choice. And when it's not by his free choice, he is not called a rodef. And if he's not called a rodef, therefore abortion you can do. But in the minute that he goes out, you can't do, because he's not called a rodef. And the reason why you can do abortion is not because he's a rodef. Even when he's inside, he's not a rodef. But the reason why you can do abortion is because the mother is more than him. The mother is alive. He is stoned to, he's not still a person, and therefore when you have to choose, you choose someone that is already alive and not someone that is not alive. So we see from here that in order to be a rodef, you need that you want to kill the person that you are killing. And you are doing maaser retzicha. And if you don't want, and you are being forced to do it, that's not called a rodef, and therefore the baby is not called a rodef. Therefore, I want to claim that rodef doesn't have anything to do with our subject today. The people in the airplane don't want to kill the people in the building. The baby that is crying doesn't want to kill the people in the bunker. The captains doesn't want to kill the people down. And therefore, the whole question of rodef is irrelevant. Yes, please.
Now, because in the case of planes, the pilots are rodef.
Yes.
The question is, if you kill somebody innocent in order to protect yourself from rodef?
Israel have this question all the time with Arabs. Are you allowed, when they're hitting in the hospital, we had it only now in Gaza, are you allowed to kill the people? But anyway, certainly, the other people will not be called rodef. The question is, are you allowed to kill the airplane because you want to kill the people? But it's not that the other people will be called rodef too. And according to most poskim, the answer is that you're not allowed. And therefore you can't say that because the pilot, the Arabs, is not even the pilot, it's the Arabs that control the pilot, are rodef, therefore it will be allowed to kill everyone else. And therefore we don't have here the question of rodef. And the real question is understanding of the issue of the Torah of Lo Tirtzach. Is Lo Tirtzach an issue always without any exceptions? And therefore if I murder, even if I save by this murder, if I murder, I'm not allowed to do it? Or is Lo Tirtzach only aser when I don't save life? But when I save life, it's mutter. And this is the main question that we have to deal today. If we are saying that Lo Tirtzach is absolute, then you are not allowed to kill the minority in order to save the majority. If we say that Lo Tirtzach is not absolute, then in cases that you save life, it will be allowed. And this is what we have to check. I would like to go to two sources. One source is Gemara in Bavli, the second source is Gemara in Yerushalmi, and from these two sources to try to answer the four cases that we have. If you can look please in the sheet. Source number one, Gemara Pesachim, Kafei Amud Aleph. Ki ata ravin amar Rabbi Yochanan bakol mitrapin chutz me'avodah zara gilui arayot ushfichut damim. Very very famous Gemara. Bakol mitrapin, because the Torah said v'chai bahem, therefore you should be mechalel the Torah in order to save life. That's the whole idea, that if someone is sick and you can save him, you have to call an ambulance on Shabbat, even that the driver is mechalel Shabbat in order to save. Because the Torah said v'chai bahem, and therefore pikuach nefesh, control Shabbat. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Mori v'Rabbi, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was asked a very, very interesting question about Chilul Shabbat. There was someone that the doctor came and he said that he is going to die unless he will take immediately a medicine. And you have to put that, you have to boil water and to put this medicine into the boiled water and then to give it to the sick person. So you are allowed in Shabbat to open the gas immediately, put the fire and boil the water. The neighbor in that case, opposite of the apartment where the sick person was, the neighbors have, I apologize for my English, Dud Shabbat. Yes, a water urn. That there is water there. And you don't have to be Mechal Shabbos. You go to the neighbor, you take a hot cup of hot water and you bring it to the sick man, you put the medicine and everything. But the neighbor is sleeping. Now the question is, what is better? To open the fire or to wake the neighbor? And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Mori v'Rabbi, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, gave a psak not to wake the neighbor, but to open the gas and to burn it himself. That goes to the question if pikuach nefesh is hutra, mutchuya. I won't go now into, we don't have time. But pikuach nefesh is saying that the issue is not existent. And therefore you don't do any issue by burning the water. And therefore you shouldn't wake the neighbor. And you should burn, you should open the gas and put it. I think that shows the tremendous sensitivity that Rav Shlomo Zalman had. I don't know if I have time, but I want to say one story about Rav Shlomo Zalman, and then we continue our talk. Ger Katan. There is halachot of if you convert a small child. And a small child, you can't convert it. Because one of the things that orthodoxy demands in converting, that's the difference between reforming conservative to orthodox, one of the things is that you have to be mekabel Torah u'mitzvot. And a boy till 13 doesn't have that and cannot be mekabel Torah u'mitzvot. So what do you do when you convert a small child? You put him into the mikveh, you make a brit milah if he's a boy, and then when he's 13, you have to announce to him that he's not Jewish till now, and then he's accepting Torah u'mitzvot, and when he accepts Torah u'mitzvot, then the geirut is finished. There was a girl in Yerushalayim. Parents didn't have children. They adopted a girl when she was very, very small. She didn't tell her that this is not the real parents. And she was sure that this is the father, this is the mother. And they raised her. For the years, the mother went into pregnancy, had more children. A month before the bat mitzvah, they had to tell her that she's not Jewish, that she is adopted. Because if she doesn't know it and she's mekayem Torah or mitzvot, she's not mekabel yahadut. So they told her, she was learning in Beit Yaakov in Yerushalayim, and they told her, in one of the Beit Yaakov, I won't say which one, they told her, and she said, I want to be Goya. I don't want to be Jewish. And every day from there, instead of learning in the class, one of the teachers took her to a room and spoke with her about Olam Haba, Am Sgula, bringing Novi, Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, the importance of Am Yisrael, Tchiyat HaMeitim, all what you want. And the girl said, sorry, I want to be Goya. And the mother had a tremendous problem. She would have to raise a Goya in the house. And their brothers and sisters, small brothers and sisters. 3 days before her bat mitzvah, someone suggested her to take her to Rav Shlomo Zalman. She went to Rav Shlomo Zalman, I heard it from first hand, Rabbi Memori, and she told him the story with the girl. Rav Shlomo Zalman asked to be with the girl alone. The mother left. They left little open their door so there won't be problem of yichud. After 3 minutes, the door opened and the girl ran to the mother and said, I want to be Jewish. And both of them cried. The mother was shocked because she didn't give any more help anymore. The mother went to Rav Shlomo Zalman and said, I don't know if it's allowed, but if it's allowed, I would like to know what the Rav told her. What was the hocus pocus that in 3 minutes she decided to be Jewish and here the teachers are trying for a month? So Rav Shlomo Zalman asked the girl if it's okay to tell the mother what he said. And the girl said yes. And he said, I told to the girl that if she will be religious and she will keep Torah mitzvot and she will be a good girl, then she will marry someone that will be with her till Me'av Esrim and never will leave her alone. So the mother said, this is what you said. You didn't speak about Tchiyat HaMeitim, Olam Haba, Mashiach. Shlomo Zalman looked at the mother and said, what the girl is bothered? She heard a month ago that her parents threw her away. And she's afraid that it will happen again. And this would bother her, not Olam Haba and Mashiach. And therefore I had to go to her shoes and to speak with her that it won't happen again. To me as a Rebbe, this is a tremendous message. Always to go to the neshama of the Talmud and not to be in my side, but to be in his side and from there taking up. Let's go back to our Gemara. So everything, you are allowed to be Michalel except 3 things. The 3 things are Avodah Zarah, the story of Chana v'Shivat Banea. If someone comes and says, "Or you daven, or you mitpale, or you mishtachave l'pesel, or I'll kill you," that's the mitzvah of V'nikdashti betoch bnei Yisrael. That's exception number one. You have to be killed and not work Avodah Zarah. We learn it from Shema Yisrael, bechol nafshecha. Afilu doroshet nafshecha, even that he demands your nefesh. Second thing is gilui arayot. If someone comes to a married man or a married woman and says, oh, you be with someone, or I'll kill you, they're not allowed to be built. I don't have time now, but one of the big questions in the Holocaust was that there were a few places a woman that felt that if she will be with the Nazim, she can convince them not to kill Jews in a certain places. And the question was if that was allowed. And the third case, and this one is interesting us, is killing. If someone comes to a man and says, or you kill someone, or if not, I'll kill you. He's not allowed to say, okay, v'chai b'hem, I'll kill him. But he's not allowed to kill, and he should be killed. And the Gemara said that the first two are being learned from Psukim. But this one is being learned from logic and not from Psukim. Let's see, please, the Gemara in the end. second line from the bottom in the first source. Veshvichut damim gufei minala. From where do we learn that you are not allowed to kill in order to save your life? Answer the Gemara, svarahu. This is logic. This is not a pasuk. Kiahu de'ata lekamei de'rava. Someone came running to Rava. Amarle mare durai, amarle zil katla leploni, ve'ilo katlin alach. The mayor of the city told me, or I'll kill someone, or if not, he will kill me. What should I do? Rava looked at him, and Rava said, liktulach velo tiktol. You should be killed, and you shouldn't kill. And now Rava is giving a logic. And this logic is very important for us. Maichazet dedama didach sumaktfei. I don't have here the continuation, I'm sorry. Dilma dama daugavra sumaktfei. Translation. Who said that your blood is redder? Who said that you are better? Maybe he is better. Meaning to say, when I take an ambulance, I'm over in Avera, or I cancel the Avera, in order to have benefit. The benefit is that this man sick will be alive. Here the benefit is not clear, because it's one versus one. You want to kill X in order to survive Y. If you would know 100% that X is better, you would be allowed to do it. But if you don't know that X is better than Y, then the benefit is not clear. When the benefit is not clear, you have to be passive. Sheve al tasa. And that's the reason why you can't kill when it's one versus one. So when we speak about one versus one, we have a straight Gemara that say it's not allowed. Because the benefit is not clear. For you it's clear. You want to live. But in the big picture, it's not clear. And because in the big picture it's not clear, we don't know which one is better. It's not like the case of the fetus and the mother. There we know which one is better. Because the mother is alive, the fetus is not alive yet, there we know. But here we don't know. And because here we don't know, you have to be completely passive, you can't do it. The question is, what happened when we come to minority versus majority? Here we do have a benefit. We will kill four captains and we will save 70 soldiers. So we do have a benefit of 67 people. Is this will be allowed then or not? This is taking us to the second source. Says the Yerushalmi, Tani, Siot bnei Adam, I don't know, but part of the Maramigomus wasn't printed. So I will say part of them by heart. Siot bnei Adam shehayu mehalchin baderech. Groups of people that were going in the desert. And the goyim surrounded them. Pag'u ve'amru, tnu lanu echad mikem ve'naharog oto. Ve'im lav, arei anu horgim et kulchem. So a group of Jews are going on the way. They are being surrounded by goyim. And the goyim say, or you give us one, or we kill every one of you. The halacha is, afilu kulan nehragin, lo yimseru nefesh achat miYisrael. Even if you have a group of 50 people, and if they will go and pick one person and give it to the goyim, all the 49 will be saved. You're not allowed to give this one man, and all the 50 have to be killed. Second case, and here I'm sorry, I sent it in fax, I don't know why it's not printed, I will say it by heart. Yichadu lahen echad, kegon Sheva ben Bochri. I will explain what Sheva ben Bochri is doing in a minute. They came and they picked one. And they didn't say, you choose. You give us anyone that you want from the group. They said, we want Mr. X. I checked with Rabbi Shor before, and I wanted to give him big yishal koach, that there is no one here in the crowd called Mr. X. So they come and said, we want Mr. X. And they didn't say, you pick one. What do you do then? Here we have a machloket, please add it to the Maran Mekamos. Here we have a machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says aloud, and you do give Mr. X, and Rish Lakish said, it's not allowed. Unless that Mr. X made a sin and is chayav mita already before. But in a regular case, even if they are asking for someone specific, you can't do it. Anyone want to explain, please, why there is a difference between the cases? Why in the first case in the Yerushalmi, when it's unfixed minority, and we have to choose, why there it's clear that you can't give? And in the second case, we have a machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish.
Because in the first case, people who choose in effect are considered to be accessories to the tzicha. They're saying, we are now going to choose who is going to be killed. In the other case, in the second case, the Goyim already chose who is going to be killed. The only question is, are we going to resist this or not? And so, not resisting is not necessarily considered an accessory to tzicha.
Okay. Any other explanation? Why there is a difference between if you have to choose or it was chosen? Yes, please.
From Yonah, the story that we have to learn now, the jailer did not know that Hashem had chosen. They only knew that there was a Goral, and it was chosen by the Goral, so maybe we can learn out something from the story of Yonah.
Okay. I think that the difference is that when you have to choose, let's go back to the story of Sobibor. They have to choose, or the story here in the Yerushalmi. There is a group of people, the goyim are around, and you have to choose. You are coming back to the question of one versus one versus one. You have to choose between Reuven and Shimon and Levi. And we saw already in the Bavli that when it's one versus one versus one, you can never know who is better. And when you can't know who is better, you can't choose between one versus one versus one versus one. Therefore, when it's an unfixed minority, it goes back to the svara of the Gemara, "Mai chazi dama didei ksum aktfei, dilma dama dahugava sum aktfei." Who said that you are better than him? Maybe he's better than you. And therefore, because we don't know who is better, we have to be passive and we can choose. When it's a fixed minority, and they're asking for Mr. X, you don't have a dilemma between Mr. X or Y. You have a dilemma if to give Mr. X or everyone should be killed. But you can't change X by Y. Therefore, you don't have the question of one versus one. Therefore, here we have a machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are really figuring out the story of Sheva ben Bukhri. You have here the psukim of Sheva ben Bukhri. אנוכי שולמי אמוני ישראל, אתה מבקש להמית עיר ואם בישראל, למה תיבלה נחלת השם? שבע בן בחרי was barreling, was רודף במלכות, was speaking against דוד המלך. And דוד המלך took יואב to kill him. And שבע בן בחרי went to a city and were hidden in the city. And יואב decided to destroy the whole city. Because they didn't know where he is. Came a woman, old woman, to Yoav and said, "Why do you want to destroy the whole city? Lama yigara ir ve'em beYisrael? Lama tibala nachlat Hashem? Instead of that, I'll kill Sheva ben Bachri and I'll give you his head." And Yoav agreed. And Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish have a conflict. Why she was allowed to kill Sheva ben Bukhri? Rabbi Yochanan said, because it's a fixed minority, And if it's fixed minority, you should kill the minority to save the majority. And therefore, Sheva ben Bukhri was the minority. You should kill the minority to save the majority. Rish Lakish says, no. You are not allowed to kill minority to save majority. The reason why it was allowed is because he was rode of Memalchut. And he is high of Mita. And only when you are high of Mita, you can kill the minority in order to save the majority. When he's not high of Mita, like the people that goes in the desert, you can't kill the minority to save majority. I want to thank Rabbi Shul that we have another 10 minutes. Because if we will have to stop here, then the answer will be very clear. Machloka between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, our cases. The case of Sobibor certainly won't be allowed, because there you speak about unfixed minority. An unfixed minority, we already saw in the Yerushalmi, Yehargu Kulam. Therefore, in the case of Sobibor, they were not allowed to choose who will die with them, even if the Nazi will choose 5 for each one of them. In all the other 3 cases, when we speak about the fixed minority, the baby, the people in the airplane, the captains, then, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you should kill the minority, and according to Rish Lakish, you should not kill the minority. The Rambam, the Rama, is posted like Rish Lakish. It means that even when you have a fixed minority, you cannot kill the minority in order to save the majority. So, lichora, we have clear answers. The safe case of Sobibor, no. And the other 3 cases, according to Rabbi Yochanan, yes. According to Rish Lakish, no. And because we are posted like Rish Lakish, therefore the answer should be no. I would like to take my last 10 minutes and to go deeper than that. One stage deeper than that. Why, according to Rish Lakish, even in a fixed minority, you can't do it? What's the logic? You can save people. You can save life. It's a fixed minority. You don't have the question of 1 versus 1. One is still there. We say, don't kill the minority in order to save majority. I would like to give 3 different explanations, and every explanation will cause us to different conclusions. So we are now finishing the shiur by explaining the opinion of Rish Lakish, why you can't kill minority even fixed in order to save majority. Rav Shlomo Iger have a very long tshuva on that. I will say things outside. And Rav Shlomo Iger says, certainly it's more sense to kill one and to save life. But if they're going to want Mr. X, and it's so important for them, why they simply go and kill Mr. X? Why we have to hang it to them? Why they simply go and kill him? He's inside the group. What's the problem? Says Rabbi Shlomo Iger, they want to make fun of you. And therefore there is a question of Chilul Hashem. Because they want you specific to take your friend and to give it to them. And the reason why Rish Lakish says no is not because of Hilchot Retzicha. But the reason why he says no is because of Hilchot Chilul Hashem. And therefore says Rav Shlomo Iger, every case when there won't be a question of you hanging it to the goyim, even Rish Lakish will agree to Rabbi Yochanan that you do kill the minority in order to save majority. And he wants to prove it for a few gemarot I won't come into. So according to the first opinion, now everything changes. All the 3 cases, the case of the baby in the bunker, the case of the captains, the case of the Twin Towers, according to Rav Shlomo Iger, in none of them you are giving someone to the goyim. And therefore, in all these three cases, you should kill the minority in order to save majority. And only in the case of Sobibor, because it's unfixed minority, there you don't do it. That's opinion number one. Opinion number two. The Meiri, and very, very much analyzed in Rav Kook in Da'at Kohen. Rav Kook in Da'at Kohen claims, and soon I'll show from where he takes it in the Meiri, that the reason of Rish Lakish that you can't kill minority in order to save majority is because it goes back to the logic. Who told you that there is a benefit? Says Rav Kook, when you speak about people, people are not like tomatoes. You don't speak about numbers. And it may be that the minority is more important than the majority. Therefore, even if there is a difference in numbers, I still don't know that there is benefit. And therefore, still I have to be passive. And that's the idea of Rish Lakish. So according to Rav Kook, it doesn't have anything to do with Chilul Hashem. But it's simply the idea that numbers in people don't count. And it may be that the minority is more important than the majority. Says Rav Kook, but there will be one exception. The exception will be if the minority will be killed anyway. Because if the minority will be killed anyway, so you don't speak about minority versus majority and you say the benefit is not clear. The benefit is clear. Because the minority, the baby is going to be killed anyway. The people in the Twin Towers are going to be killed anyway. It's all them or them plus the people in the building. So the benefit is clear. It's all the baby or the baby plus 34 people. So the benefit is clear. When the benefit is clear and the minority is going to be killed anyway, Rish Lakish will agree to Rabbi Yochanan that you should kill the minority. Therefore, if Rav Kook, according to Rav Kook, the answer will be of the four cases, case of Sobibor, no, because it's unfixed minority. Case of Tzor, where the captain and the soldiers know because the captains can leave, and therefore you don't know which one is more. And the case of the bunker, the baby in the bunker, and the people in the airplane, the answer will be yes. Because the minority is going to be killed anyway. If the minority is going to be killed anyway, it will be allowed. Anyone want to ask any question on Rav Kook? Yes, please.
We have a rule that Ela Dayan La Mashkina wrote. If the Kuach Nefesh is going to rot. And if we see the airplane going into the building, the rot chances is that he will go inside.
The case of Yushan was hand over this fellow, right? If you don't hand him over, we're going to kill all of him. Right? So the Rishmakish is saying, it's not that they're saying we'll kill this one, we'll kill all of you minus. Anyway.
Excellent question. How Rav Kook can say it? It seems to be that this one will be killed anyway. And Rish Lakish said that still don't give him. So if the idea is that the minority, when the minority is being killed anyway, you should give, why Rish Lakish says no? Here I want to go to the Meiri. The Meiri says, you know what is the case? We asked before the question of Rav Shlomo Iger. Why the goyim don't go simply and kill Mr. X? Why they're asking you to give them? So Rav Shlomo Iger said, they want to make fun of you. The Meiri says something else. Mr. X is not physically in the group. He is hiding in the Dead Sea. Think about the Maccabim, the Hashmonaim. And Tnu Lano Echad Mikem means one from your organization. But according to the Meiri and Rav Kook, this man is not physically in the group. Only the group knows where he is and the going don't. And if the group will refuse, all the group will be killed, but he won't be killed. And therefore, maybe he is more than the group, and therefore you can't do it. So we have here two different understanding of the case of the Yerushalmi. Are we speaking in the case where he's in the group and the going don't kill him because they want their friend, that you'll take your friend and you hang him? Or is it because that he's physically not in the group? And therefore, even if you kill all of them, he will be alive, and maybe he is more than them, and therefore you can't do it. If to summarize, we have in the meantime two opinions. According to Rav Shlomo Iger, Sobibor, no. All the other three cases, yes, because there is no Chilul Hashem. According to Rav Kook, Sobibor, no. So, no, because the minority will be alive. All the other three two cases, the bunker and the twin towers, yes, because the minority will believe anyway. Third opinion, and with this I would like to finish, is the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah says the reason of Rish Lakish, Yesh lanu Kabbalah. The word Kabbalah here means Halacha leMoshe miSinai. ששפיכות דמים לא הותרה בשום אופן, גם כשאין סברה לנסור. According to the Kesef Mishnah, Rish Lakish says there is no logic. Really, the logic is to kill and to save life. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu in the 40 days that he was there, one of the halachot leMoshe miSinai, killing is something so bad, so even in the cases where you should, don't do it. In the machloket between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, do we have halacha leMoshe miSinai like that, or we don't? So according to the Kesef Mishneh, all the four cases won't be allowed. Summing up, according to the four cases, you never is allowed, except there is a rodef, and we explain that here there is no rodef. You are never, there is no exception to the rule of Lo Tirtzach. Therefore you are never allowed to kill the minority. According to Rav Kook, the exception will be if the minority will be killed anyway, therefore the baby will be allowed and the twin towers will be allowed. And according to Rav Shlomo Iger, every time when there is a benefit, clear benefit, and there is no Chilul Hashem, and it's a fixed minority, it will be allowed. Therefore, all the three cases, when there is a fixed minority, twin towers, baby in the bunker, Tzor will be allowed, Sobibor won't be allowed. I want to finish and to say, Rav Kook in Orot HaKodesh says that there are two kinds of Limud HaTorah. There is a Limud HaTorah that a man has to learn in order to know what to do. And there is a Limud HaTorah like Israel is learning Hilchot Kehuna, but he will never be a Kohen. But you simply learn the Torah in order to get closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I want to pray to the Kadosh Baruch Hu that all what we learned today will be in the second category. And these questions of killing won't be any more questions for Am Yisrael, and will be zoche to see the Geula HaShlema v'imhera b'yameinu. Amen.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Yammer. We'll start the next year again.